Father, again this morning, it is always such a joy to come together as a family, to be in your presence, to know what you're going to share by your Holy Spirit as you minister to us. And just we receive all your ministry, whatever you're wanting to do in our lives, but not only in our lives, in our communities where we stay, the places where we are involved with them. We want to thank you as your Holy Spirit shares us your heart's desire for people all around us, and we just honor you this morning. And so we say yes to you, Lord, as you lead us, as you guide us. We want to just to have a moment just to give thanks and to praise your holy name. And this we commit and give to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh. Good. Well, we're going to carry on where we left off last Sunday. And there's a emphasis on prayer, on how the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand and to step more into the life, the reality of praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll find that it's not a formula, as we all know, but I believe as we are walking in step with the Holy Spirit and we really becoming very conscious of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that we are finding that as we pray and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is the reality of that becoming real, and there's the evidence of that taking place. And so we want to just spend a bit more time speaking about this, and seeing how our motives are changing, how our thoughts are changing when it comes to prayer and understanding what Jesus means when we ask in his name and whatever we do in his name. So that's what we're going to be just continuing on where we left off last week on that there. So I'm going to go to some scriptures over here again, and we want to look at some scriptures here, and the one I'm starting off is in Romans, where we've been dealing with for a time over here. Let me just get to Romans. Yeah, okay, now I can see it. I'm using OBS, so we're just learning it as we go on. Romans chapter 8, and again, I'm just going to just read the first couple of verses from verse 5 to basically maybe 12. Those who are living according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. And remember, that's everyone that is still not born again. So it's everybody that is still in the original sin in Adam. And here again, there's a comparison between those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit and those who have not yet born again, and the contrast over here. But what's going to be important is to realize we're dealing with the Holy Spirit's mind, not our mind at this particular time. We have to renew our minds to that what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, so that we experience the life and the peace that the Holy Spirit has. That's his mind. His mind is life and peace. Okay. And that's why we read over here, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's all of us who are born again and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, we're in the realm of the Spirit, remember, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires, or have their mind set on the Spirit's mind. That's what actually it says in the original. Now, verse 6, a mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And as I shared there, and that's why, remember, the Spirit speaks to us, and we renew our mind to that which the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. And so we then participate in the life and the peace of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when, you know, for instance, in Colossians, when Paul is writing to the body of Christ over there in verse 15, he speaks about this, let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And that's how you know whether you have renewed your mind to the mind of the Holy Spirit, because you will experience the peace of God ruling in your heart. You will experience the peace of God ruling in your mind. And that's when you know, okay, now I know I'm participating in the life of the Holy Spirit's mind, in His thoughts, because remember, His thoughts is God's thoughts. It's Jesus' thoughts. And so that's how we begin to understand. And so through in our life, as we go through our day, we become anxious. There will be this problem that we're facing, this stress, anxiety, whatever the case may be. Remember, the Holy Spirit, He knows. He knows what we are thinking. He knows the thoughts of God. And so the Holy Spirit will communicate with our spirit the God's thoughts about our current situation. And then He will communicate to us, as we saw there 2 weeks back over there, because the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit all the time. And so there's that communication. And then in His incredible way, what the Holy Spirit is saying to our spirit, we begin to get an understanding. We pick it up by our spirit, and now we renew our mind to that. And that's when the mind of Christ becomes our reality, and that's where the peace, that's where the life is. And so that, as they often say, that peace of God is like the umpire that tells us whether we are in God's will, it's God's thoughts, what He's thinking. We step into that, we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we will have that peace guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. And then you know, okay, now I'm participating in the mind of the Holy Spirit. I now have the desires of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's desires is what the Father is sharing, and that's the Father's desires for you and I. And so that's how you recognize now whether we are participating, whether we have renewed our mind, whether we are experiencing that peace, that life within us. And that's where we go back to, remember in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and verse 2 about the law of the Spirit of life. And this is His ministry that we partake in. That's that union with the Holy Spirit that we partake in over there. Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit's mind. We renew our mind so that we can participate and become so one with the Holy Spirit's mind. And that's how we get the peace. Okay, I hope that helps a bit over there in understanding that. Okay, and so we carry on over here, and we see back into Romans 8, and we read over there, the mind governed by the flesh is death, and the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Okay? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Remember what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. So everybody that's still in Adam, the power of sin, in other words, the power of lawlessness is the reality. There's no way of escaping that lawlessness. And that's why they cannot please God. That's why the unsaved person cannot please God, because of that law operating within. That's the law of sin and death. The law of lawlessness, okay, which results to death. The wages of sin is death. Okay. Now, but we are not like that, because remember, we now have in Christ Jesus, that law is broken. That law of sinlessness, that power of sin, that power of disobedience, that power of lawlessness is no longer the authority in our lives. The new law of the Spirit of life is our new authority. And so that's why we now are able to please God. Before we could not. That's incredible in that there. Okay, so we carry on there, verse 8, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And remember, even in Hebrews chapter 11 about faith, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Although there's this word please in this in Romans here and the word please in Hebrews chapter 11, they're different, but they still have the same reality of we can please God because we've been accepted by God, because we're in Christ Jesus, and what Christ has done brings us into the reality of being able to please God. Because he's satisfied in the finished work of Jesus, we have been credited righteous. And so the righteous requirements have been met, and that's why we can please God, because the righteous requirements have been met. We have received the gift of righteousness. So here in Romans 8, it's about us meeting the requirements, that the righteous standards of God, which brings him pleasure, and in Christ, that's our reality. So you and I, the unsaved, they haven't received the gift of righteousness by faith. You and I have received the gift of righteousness, and so we please God. And that's awesome to know. And you can rest, oh God, to know that because of the requirements, because we've received righteousness, we bring you great pleasure. The requirements of the law have been fully met in us, and therefore sin has been condemned, as we've been looking there in Romans chapter 8. In the first four verses. Okay, so let's carry on then. And so we carry on there in verse 9. You, however, this is speaking to us now, are not in the realm of the flesh. That we've been taken out of that. We are now in Christ. We've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. We're brought into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. But we are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Okay? And that's what we looked at last Sunday, is really what Jesus promised there in John chapter 14. Now, this is what Paul is expanding and explaining it in far greater detail of the reality. So Romans chapter 8 is really an explanation of Jesus' teaching concerning the promise of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15 and 16. Okay, and so he says over here, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And so here we as I shared, here we see here now, you and I as disciples of Christ, you and I who have the Spirit of God, we now are in the incredible we live in the reality that we now can have the desires of God himself. We can have the desires of the Holy Spirit. And this is a natural fruit of recognizing, of simply by faith receiving the fact that you and I have received the Holy Spirit when we got born again. This is not trying to sort of strive to get this become a reality. These desires is a natural consequences of just walking with the Holy Spirit. It's a natural consequences of you and I simply receiving and acknowledging Holy Spirit. You're in me, your life is in me, and I receive your desires. I receive your ability to be able to communicate with me. I want to thank you that you know the desires of the Father for my life, for my situation, for my community, for my workplace. You know the desires, the Father's desires for my town, my nation, etc. And I want to thank you that you will communicate in your time, in your ways, and so it's a faith reality. And that's why if there's anxiety and there's stress, faith is not operating. We're not operating in the God-given faith. So when we receive, we can now rest. We're not striving to get the peace. We're not striving to get the life. we just simply because it's in us, and we now can rest because we actually believe. So anxiety is the evidence that we're not really walking in faith, okay? We're not really keeping a step. But when by faith we accept, Holy Spirit, you in me, and I receive your life in my mind, I receive your life in my body, and just simply receive that there, now you can rest, and you can carry on there, and you will find there as you just carry on, how in that place of quietness, be still and know that I'm God. That's what happens now. Now that you're still, because faith is operating, you've got confidence in the Holy Spirit to share with you when he wants to share with you the thoughts of God about the situation that you and I are facing. You're in a place of rest. That's faith now. You see, that's that simple faith and trust in God's ability to speak to you. And there we have that taking place in our lives. And that's why rest is a big part in our lives. And then you know, okay, we actually believe. And that I'm very conscious of the many times when I find, oopsie, I'm back sort of stressing about something, and my mind is so occupied about this thing, and it's just that's a reminder of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to be established, because that's what he's doing. He's establishing us in the life of the Holy Spirit. He's helping us to live in the reality of the law of the Spirit of life. And so it's being established. So every time we are sort of stepping out of that law of the Spirit of life, in a sense, you will find the Holy Spirit will remind us so that we can just stop, get established in it, renew our mind by faith, simply believe. And that's how it gets established. And that's what's happening to us all right now. Okay. And so in this year, I want to go into John chapter 14, where we left off. We spent a little time last week, because it's important just to, again, to recap, because Jesus is showing us how he lived as a man in relationship with his Father. And so Jesus is busy showing us the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life, and how the Holy Spirit was the person who brought in the reality of the Father's relationship and his relation, that union, that oneness with the Father and the Father had with him. It was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus is expounding, explaining and sharing. And that's what Paul has been speaking about here in Romans chapter 8. And so remember here in John chapter 14, when Jesus is speaking about the Father in him, and it's the authority and the words that Jesus is speaking, it's the Father's words, and it's his works through him. And then remember, we go to verse 12. Very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And so here Jesus is touching about the fruit, the evidence. And so you'll see in John 15 and 16, he speaks a lot about the fruit. Remember when we went into Romans chapter 7, and we saw over there that we've been raised with Christ, this whole born-again reality. We've died to the law in order for us to bear fruit for God and to live a new life. And so this is what Jesus is touching over here. And so the works of Jesus, the evidence of Jesus, is the fruit of this relationship that the Holy Spirit makes real in his life and in our life, because we have received the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says there, because I'm going to the Father, you'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Remember, Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet gone to the cross. He had not yet been raised from the dead. So the disciples, they were still under the law. They were still also had the law of sin operating in them. And so only after the death and resurrection of Christ, and then them receiving the Holy Spirit, this what Jesus is sharing with them, this relationship with him and the Father, now became their reality as well, as it is your reality, my reality, it's our reality as well. See, and that's, it's simple faith. You accept that and it just begins to become more and more real. So as we continue walk in faith in the fact that the same reality of the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us, you'll find there you'll become more conscious and you will start to see more and more of the fruit of that. That's why the desires of the Holy Spirit, it's a natural consequences of you and I just walking in step with the Holy Spirit, just becoming very conscious of the ministry of the Holy Spirit within you. You will find your everything changes. Your desires change according to the desires of the Holy Spirit. And then that reality, we have the mind of Christ, is our reality. Okay, and that's important for us to understand this next verse. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And this is what our Father is wanting to help us to grow into now more and more, to be established on what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus. And that's why one has to understand, one has to know that within us we have the life of the Holy Spirit. We, as Jesus said later on here in John chapter 14, that the Holy Spirit comes, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. And that's the reality of your life and my life over here. That, and that's why it's a faith reality. It's everything. We received the Holy Spirit because we simply believed. And we stay there. We have not adding anything on, not taking anything away. We received and we just simply believe. And the Holy Spirit will communicate to us and we just respond and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Day after day, the righteous will live by faith. Okay? And so now we come and we're finding that there's something taking place. There's a natural fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. We're partaking, we're becoming so one with the fruit of the Spirit. It's being established in the fruit and the life of the Holy Spirit, in other words. And now we're finding that our desires are shifting. We actually begin to desire the things of God. We have the mind, and the Holy Spirit's desire is always that which is Jesus. You remember again in John chapter 15 over here in verse 13. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will, let me just mind my head out the way here, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And that's the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life and my life. And so Jesus' desire is always for the Father to be glorified in him, as we saw there now in that John. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. So that's the desire of Jesus. It's for the Father to be glorified in. That's why he says, use my name, because I want you to use my name, so that, because I want my Father to be glorified in me. And so this is going to explode, guys. The revelation that the Father is going to continually give us into this truth is going to be, it's going to be life changing for the body of Christ worldwide. And that's why he's helping us now to begin to start to meditate, to become conscious, to become journey with God in this. Say, what do you mean? Teach me more about this. Because when he says over there, I want my Father to be glorified in me. And that's why even in the time of prayer, whenever there's prayer meetings in our own prayer life, before you will begin to say, what's my motive for praying? What's my motive for coming and saying in the name of Jesus? What's the motive behind? Now you will find your motive will change, because now our motive is, Father, I want you to be glorified in your Son. And there's a shift in motive. There's a shift in desire. There's a shift in mindset, because now you're having the mind of God in this area. And so now your prayers are shifting to see that the Father is glorified as you pray and ask the Father anything in the name of Jesus, and Jesus will now come and do what we're asking, because his desire is for the Father to be glorified in him. And so now as we're praying in his name, now the Father has been glorified in his Son Jesus Christ. And everybody, because we know that we've asked in the name of Jesus, our desires now are in line with the Holy Spirit. We now also want the Father to be glorified in the name of Jesus. So that's why it shifts from the name of Jesus being a formula at the end of a prayer. It now becomes life to us. We live in the reality of Jesus, who wants the Father to be glorified. That's our desire. The Holy Spirit makes that desire known to you and I, and we live in that truth. Okay? And he's going to make us very conscious of, when we are praying, he's going to make us very conscious of the motive behind those prayers. And we're going to now begin to, okay, my motive is maybe fear. My motive is I don't like that person. My motive is this. My motive is that. But now we're going to find, no, we have the mind of Christ. We now, as we saw there in Romans chapter 8, now we have the mind. Our mind is now in line with the Holy Spirit's desires. And we now pray in the name of Jesus, and there's the answer. And so there in the workplace, there in the school, in our communities, in our families, we spend the time to meditate. Father, show us your desires for the people that I'm working with. Show us your desires for my family members. Show us your desires for my community, for my nation. Show us your desires. And the Spirit of God will share the thoughts of God to you and I. As he shares, now we renew our mind to that, because our mind may be, wipe them out, Lord. Just destroy them, you know. We want nothing to do with them. They, you know, whatever the case may be, we renew our mind so that we have the mind of Christ. And now we can come and we can pray, Father, in your name, in the name of Jesus. And that's when Jesus says, I will do what you ask, anything in my name, I'm going to do it. What a promise. See, a foundation. We're on a rock. Now we know that these prayers will be answered, because by faith we have received this, and faith is that persuasion, God's divine persuasion. God is persuading us in an amazing way. Guys, this is our reality. This is the growth in our intercession. This is the growth in our communication with our Lord, with our Heavenly Father, and that's taking place. Okay, and so he's just helping us, sorting out our prayer life now, our conversation life. I don't want to use the word prayer life, because somehow prayer life puts it into a little box in the morning or not evening or something. It's our conversation life. It's our day-to-day walk with God life. It's communicating with God all the time, him sharing with us. It's lifestyle. That's what it's all about. Okay. And throughout the day. So it's not just a 1 5-minute or 1 hour, whatever the case may be. Okay. Now in John chapter 16 over here, I've said this over here, but let me just go down a bit over here. In verse 23, in that day, you will no longer, this is after Christ has been resurrected, and then he returns after his resurrection, spends time with the disciples, and then he's ascended, and now they've received the Holy Spirit. So he's speaking about that. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Sure, What a promise that our Father is giving to you and I. Incredible promise. Jesus is showing us, listen, just as the Father was in me and I was in the Father, just as that everything that I did was that my Father can be glorified. So my desires was in line with the Holy Spirit's desires. The Holy Spirit was all the time showing me my Father's desires. And everything that I did was that. So now the same way, the same reality is going to be in you, he's saying. And so just as I would ask the Father and he would do what I asked him, likewise. Now because of what I've done for you and you've received this gift of righteousness, you've received this incredible gospel, the salvation that I'm bringing to you, now you're able to also go directly to the Father because of the righteous requirements have been met. You now please God. Now you can go and directly to the Father and ask him anything in my name, and I'm going to do it. Until you see, and the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, because Jesus' desire is for the Father to be glorified in his Son Jesus. Incredible promise that our Father is giving to you and I. This is going to shake. This is going to shift. This is going to transform our lives as we get established in this day after day, week after week, month after month, more and more and more. As we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, it's a natural result. Remember, this is not a striving to get this to work. This is a natural result, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what it's all about, the life of the Holy Spirit. This becomes a natural reality in one's life as we continue just living simply in faith in the incredible work of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what he's done, receiving what he's done. This is all the good news of God. And this is what salvation is all about. And he's helping us to be established in the gospel of God, the good news of God. Okay, ask what and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And then he carries on over there. Let me just read you another one here in John chapter 15 this time. Remember about the fruit and the branches of vine and bearing much fruit. Remember the works of Jesus in John 14, that's the fruit. Everyone can see the fruit of God. They can see the works of God. They can see the reality of his Father and through the ministry of Jesus. And now he carries on. Now this union that he's speaking about, abiding in him and we in him, that's the whole reality of being born by the Spirit of God. And in John chapter 5, Romans 5 and Romans 6, we saw a lot over there about being one with him in his death and his resurrection, being raised into this new life that we can live this new life. That's what he's talking about, this oneness, this unity with him, and abiding in that incredible unity. And because of that, the consequence, Romans chapter 8, because of that over there, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, the Holy Spirit takes the words of Jesus, makes it known to you and I, and so his words remain in us, and we're responding, we're listening, we love him. Because we love him, we obey, we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish. That word wish are there. Again, it's we have now the desires. Our desires is so in line, it's so one with the Holy Spirit. That's a natural result of the life of the Holy Spirit. Our desires are becoming so in line with his desires. And it'll be done for you. What a promise. This is to my Father's glory, that you and I bear much fruit. Just as Jesus was bearing fruit, and he says much more, when I leave you, because I'm going to the Father, I'm going to deal with the power of sin. The Holy Spirit's going to come and be in millions and billions of people. He's going to do work if you simply believe, if you keep in step with the Holy Spirit and just simply walk in pure God-gifted faith, you will begin to find out that whatever you desire, whatever you ask for in the name of Jesus Christ, this will be done for you, because this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. So just as it was the Father's glory for him to be glorified, for Christ to bear much fruit, And that was the desire of Jesus. Father, I want you to be glorified in me. Likewise now, for us as his family, for us as the body of Christ, that now you and I, we just as Jesus lived as a man, we too living now the same reality that the Father can be glorified in you and I. And that's why this is to his glory that we bear much fruit, because it brings in glory. It's the evidence of him, and everybody around can only acknowledge that's God, that's God. And you and I know we've asked in the name of Jesus. You know we have stepped into the reality of the life of Jesus. We have stepped into the good news, the salvation, the gospel of God. And so now we're living in the fruit of what Christ has done. And we know now in the name of Jesus, everything about salvation, everything about the good news now becomes our reality. It's all in the name of Jesus. Everything is in the name of Jesus. It's through him, what he has done. And now we can bear fruit. So the Spirit's life within us, we start to bear fruit. And that's why this is so powerful. So, and that then takes us into what we shared last week as we conclude over here. Here in that prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now just stop over there. Because we've just been looking, what did Jesus say? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And what does Paul write now to him, now to God who's able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine? Can you see the incredible goodness of God? As now we are, we're just walking and experiencing that transformation taking place within our lives in the way we think and our attitudes and our motives and our desires, all the time becoming so one with God. And we start asking, and even when we are asking, it's still too small. It's still so limited by our humanity. And our good God, our Heavenly Father says, but I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to do immeasurably more than what you ask or imagine according to the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? To him be glory in the church. You see, again, he has our part there. Just, it's to the Father's glory that you and I bear much fruit. And that Jesus says, you will do more than, much more than what I have been doing. All of a sudden, we're getting an insight over here to that, what Jesus spoke about. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's the more that Jesus is speaking about, but because the Holy Spirit's within us, because what he did in his death and resurrection, and because of the life of the Spirit within us. And so that's why we're stepping into surprise realm. We're stepping into the amazement realm, into the season, into the time where we're going to be so amazed because God is doing more than what we can imagine or ask for according to his Spirit within us. We simply believe the life of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit that you and I now have and taken over, taken as ours, and we now are one with his thoughts, we're one with his desires. And even if I say that, our understanding of oneness with the Holy Spirit's desires, it's still far more than what we, that's why this becomes such reality, because we think we know that the Spirit's desires, but simply because we believe, we have faith, we are just stepping in by faith, we have renewed our mind. God says the Spirit is actually desiring much more than what you're picking up right now. And our Father answers that. And so this is good news to you and I. This is going to change our communities, our workplaces, our lives, our nation, as we now begin to pray with the motive, with the desires of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and stepping and walking in that over there. And we all see things taking place that's going to amaze us. To him be glory in the church. It's my will for you to bear much fruit, the Father's will for you to, Father wants to be glorified as you bear much fruit, okay, you and I. And in Christ Jesus, in his name, all the time, the Father is glorified in his Son. We're the body of Christ, and so just as Jesus says, ask in my name, because I want the Father to be glorified all the time. Likewise, you, my body, ask in my name so that the Father is also glorified in you. We're in this together. And so that's a great commission, and we carry on to him throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so, guys, he has an amazing, our Father just showing us, guys, no formula in prayer. There's no ritual in prayer. This is a life. This is a reality of you and I just beginning to really live in that truth. And so that's what I believe our Father wants to share with us this morning. It's good news. as I've shared with you, and when I was praying for our nation, and God said the answer is the centrality of Christ, his death and resurrection, I had no idea of the journey into that reality. And so even you know, you can recall a few weeks back where there was a call for the body of Christ to be coming together to pray, because the Shangomas and witch doctors, etc., they were also going to have their prayer meeting. And that, and the Lord spoke to me in that area, because of motive and reason of why we do things. And he was just showing me, what has Christ already done? You see, when you understand that, and you come and you ask in the name of Jesus, you receive what Christ has already done. So the Father is glorified in his Son. That's the gospel. Remember, salvation, the gospel is all about Jesus. It's through him, what he has done. And we receive the fruit of that. The Holy Spirit takes what Jesus has done, and the Holy Spirit works. And Jesus says, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will testify about me. And you too must testify. So we know that when we simply believe and receive what Christ has done, and not have a motive of fear or anything like that, but the motive of God for you to be glorified in the lives of the people of our communities, you know that the Holy Spirit is actively involved, and there's an awakening taking place, there's a stirring taking place in the lives of people. Simply believe what Christ has done. That's the praise in the name of Jesus that he's speaking about. And God does far more than what we've asked or imagined, according to his power, his Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit, the law of the life of the Spirit that's operating within us. So God bless. As we just spend a few moments having communion, and then we will just close, and maybe some questions that we may want to answer or ask. Father, as we have the communion, we want to thank you that it's an amazing time where we can know that we come in the righteousness of Christ, and it pleases you. And we can come in his name and ask you anything, Father, based on the life of your Spirit within us. As we take a few moments, let us just recognize the Spirit's desires, renew our mind, and ask. Ask. In the name of Jesus. The other day, someone was in a stressful situation, and the mind was just, and the person had gone into a bit of a depression, battling. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, listen, it's because you're just wanting to be in control. You know, surrender, believe, have simple faith in God's ability. And maybe that's the reality of just what's What's the Father's desire for your life, for my life? What's the Father's desire for the situations? And just simply ask the Spirit to put in your heart His desires. And then you pray in the name of Jesus for those desires, and all these prayers become a reality. So, Father, thank you for your good news to us. Thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus. I want to thank you for that. We just honor you, Lord, what you have done for us. You are so awesome in just opening up the way for us to enter into this incredible life, life in you. Thank you, Lord.